Shame of Philadelphia Radio, the time filler on WPHT. Yes, live Sterling every damn night.
It's 9:06 in Center City, Philadelphia, and now weather for Philadelphia, the Delaware Valley, the Lehigh Valley, any valley you want to make up. Today, high of 88. Wednesday, do we have a theme here? Bed? Make it louder. Make it louder. Let me hear it. My God, you know, you think you were playing the instruments. All right, WPHT weather. Today, a high of 88. Wednesday, a high of 85. Only a 30% chance of rain. And on Thursday, 75% chance of rain. A high of 82. Right now, it is 74 and cloudy in Center City, Philadelphia, from 1210 WPHT. Good evening. I am Walter M. Sterling. This is a spectacular three-hour radio show. It runs until midnight. I get to tell stories. You get to tell me your stories. Here's your phone number. I'll give it to you when you're ready. You're not ready now. You're just getting home. You've decided whether or not to have another drink. I don't think you should have the other drink. I had a very traumatic day with another radio host, a woman named Kim Commando. I had trauma with her, and I'll share that with you coming up in seconds. But first, we have to do the sane thing here. Let me find the sane thing so that I can share it with you properly at 1210 WPHT. Are you ready? Here we go. I'll push this button here. What?
Have I ever told you how good it feels to hold?
That's very immature. Why are you playing that? New Jersey election updates. Andy Kim wins Democrat Senate nomination. Biden and Trump win their presidential primaries. In the 3rd District, there's a crowded race to replace Andy Kim, the Democrat Senate nominee. When New Jersey Republicans... okay, so that's the result. The result is that Andy Kim has won the Democratic... Why can't I say that? Has won the Democratic Senate nomination in New Jersey.
Have I ever told you how good it feels to hold you?
It's so immature to play that all the time. Why would we do that? I don't know. I'm trying to find you more information about this. I don't have more information. All I know is that Andy Kim has won. He's won the senatorial primary in New Jersey.
Have I ever told you how good it feels to hold you?
It's just so immature that we would play that over and over again. Almost as immature as the fact that this is Pride Month.
Hello, young folks. What you shaking? I gotta try that scene you're making. Liberace's turning on. Doodly doo doo, feeling groovy.
I don't know if you know who this is. There's a broadcaster named Kim Commando, and Kim Commando does a show about computers. How to fix your computer, how to make your printer work, why it doesn't work, error messages. It does a show basically about error messages. People call in, say, Kim, I have an error message. She says, oh, that's error message 23B, not 23C. And she's a wizard at this. The best thing about Kim, unlike jerks I've worked with, she's not a technocrat. She does not believe all technology is good. I worked with a guy once. Oh, my God. And it was worse. He was the CEO of the company, and he was a genius at physics. And he thought all technology was good. If you could do it technically, that was good. If you could convert it from analog to digital, if you could convert it from human to digital, that was the goal. And I don't view that as a goal. I never viewed that as a goal. I view the goal is, does it work? Does it work? I won't go into my tirade about how tape cartridges were just fine, thank you. I will save that for a special time when we're alone together romantically on a warm spring night in the suburbs. even further west than Newtown. That's what we'll do. Keith Mortensen, I know you're there. Neil Paul, I know you're there. Don't worry. We'll get to all the things you care about in seconds. Kim Komando, though, is one of these hosts that the closer I looked at her organization, I'm like very jealous because Kim has a vlog, but her vlog isn't like mine would be from my laundry room. Her vlog is a beautiful professional video set that cost a pretty penny. It has a green screen, big chairs, you know, those big expensive chairs, a transparent Lucite desk. I'm like, Jesus, Kim. And then she has a regular vlog and a podcast. She does a regular show. She has all this stuff going on, and she has a newsletter. And the newsletter is great because what is it? It explains things in English. It promotes things in English. And that's such a relief because even though we're a bilingual nation, Kim's newsletter is not. But therefore, I fueled up a lot of resentments toward Kim Komando. She had some stations that I should be on, which is all of them, for her syndicated radio show. She has a newsletter. People pay her for the newsletter. What would I put in a newsletter? Hi, things are bad in the laundry room. Not enough starch. Hi, from the laundry room, the dryer ran too long, burned the silk blouse. That would be my newsletter. Hi, the engine light went on. The mechanic said $1,000. Well, what's wrong with the car? It'll be $1,000. Well, what if you just run that little computer thing? Well, that'll be $250 to run the little computer thing. That's my favorite. When you go to get your car diagnosed and they have one of those computers they can plug into that plug underneath your dashboard and they say that'll be $100. $150, $250. The best thing about AutoZone, they don't charge for it. God bless AutoZone. But now, I'm dealing with Kim Komando. And I'm resenting every step of the way because Kim has it down. She has that DocuSign thing working. I don't know how to make a DocuSign work. You know what that is? Where you like click and it signs your name? I don't want the computer to click and sign my name. She knows how to get my laptop and my printer to talk to each other. All of these things very upset me. And yeah, well, today I call her and I feel so much better. I feel so much better. I call and I put in the extension of her assistant, who has one of those cool names, you know, one of those groovy names. Almost hippie, but sort of professional kind of names. And I look forward to talking to her. Okay, so I click that. And what do I get? Instead of the perky assistant, I get, hello? Like, hi, is Susan the cool girl there? Hello? Like, and I'm listening to a guy who's stoned and is trying to wake up at 4 in the afternoon, 1 West Coast time. And I go, well, I'm calling for Groovy Sue. Let me ask her what her extension is. Well, I put in the extension on her email footer. This is her extension. And I'm thinking, this is the cool Kim Komando headquarters. Oh, my gosh. She had everything buttoned up. Everything prepared, emails working, DocuSign's working, boom, 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 boom. And then we get, fine. I call back. I get him again. Let me see if I can get her to give me her real extension. Oh, boy. Hang up, call back again. This time I get a Karen. And the Karen answers the phone and says, who do you want? I think you have the wrong number. I said, no, I want to talk to Groovy Susie. There's no Groovy Susie here. That's why I know it's the wrong number. Ah! And I'm like, okay. So I felt so much better. I no longer had this remarkable Sargasso Sea of envy toward Kim Komando for having everything settled. She clearly didn't have everything settled. She was human. 916 in the greatest city in the world. 916 in the city of brotherly love. Walter M. Sterling on 1210 WPHT. This is Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every night, inspired by Kate Martin.
How I eat my popcorn as possible, and so we responded really well. I just made popcorn, and our support staff
got stops.
I love popcorn so much.
Okay, so probably, I mean,
we box out.
When did you start figuring out your sexuality?
Early college. Yeah. As old as time. It's classic.
Is it?
It's classic. Is it? Isn't it?
I guess.
Go to college and they're like, I experimented or whatever.
Well, you play Ava in Hacks. She's bi. She's like very much I'm bi.
Totally.
And because.
Which we tend to kind of do.
You do?
I mean, hard to not. It's such a big part of who we are.
Yeah.
As queers, you know.
All right, Sterling, every damn night, 921. I love this app. No, they're not paying me at all. Nothing. Zero. Mr. Softy. Mr. Softy, why would you need an app for Mr. Softy? The reason you need an app for Mr. Softy, my radio friend, is that right now, the Mr. Softy app in real time will tell you exactly where the Mr. Softy truck is near you. You put in your location, and it will show you all the Mr. Softy trucks near you in real time. And then if you click on the truck, it will tell you how long the truck's been on the road, the name of the truck. Sometimes it'll tell you the driver. But this is quite the app, the Mr. Softy app. There's one right now in front of Rowan University. Yeah, Rowan University, Glassboro, right there. Pretty cool. It shuts down in moments. I think it shuts off at like 9:30. I think the Mr. Softy trucks have to have disappeared by 9:30. In my opinion, the greatest phrase of a Philadelphia hit I've ever heard is that one. But of course, this is Pride Month. Every straight man and woman has a crush on a celebrity crush. First time you saw David Cassidy, the first time you saw the lead singer of the Goo Goo Dolls, the first time you saw the lead singer of Haim, Taylor Swift. What's this? What are you doing? Don't call me during my show. Jeez, what's wrong with these people? Let me turn off my phone. They know when my show is. They know I have nothing else to do but this show. Hold on. I can't believe they would do that. Just rude. I can't believe I'd bring the phone into the studio. Okay, now everything is off. Everybody has a gay crush of a celebrity. And my gay crush now is Taylor Hansen. I find Taylor Hansen to be very attractive.
A lot of people, you know, they didn't really think that we play the instruments or we wrote the song. So this is kind of like, you know, you think we're young now when you listen to this, and it was 2.5 years ago, and it was our second album then, and we were doing it on our own.
And he's so articulate. How could you pass him up because he's so articulate? And you heard who won the Democratic primary in Jersey, right?
Have I ever told you how good it feels to hold you?
So there you have it. That's everything you need to know. But I have come across something so astonishing that I've hesitated for 24 minutes to share it with you. I've hesitated. I've thrown in a lot of Philadelphia references so that everybody at the radio station will be very happy. A lot of Philadelphia references. We're overwhelmed with Philadelphia references. We're very big on pride. We have the largest flag in America, the largest pride flag. There's zillions of very exciting things taking place this week for Pride Week. And go and enjoy them. The only thing I would enjoy a Pride Week is pictures of Taylor Hansen. That's as far as it's going to go. If you have a celebrity crush, I'd like to know who that is, because I'm making a bet with somebody. 855-839-1210. You're anonymous. You can say, okay, this is my celebrity gay crush. It doesn't mean the celebrity's gay. And Lord knows you're not. Oh, no, you're not. You're way up there with John Wayne. Not a problem. Not an issue. You don't get to a double date. But you probably have a celebrity that you have a little crush on, and I'd like to know who that is. All of Philadelphia would like to know who that is. And my phone number is live. Andrew is waiting to talk to you. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. I don't want to see any texts or any emails with this answer, because that doesn't do my show any good. It doesn't do my show good if you leave a text. What am I going to do with a text? It doesn't do my show if you leave me an email, but this is not Jurassic Park. Just call. It's okay. You're fine. Listen, I've waited 26 minutes to tell you about something I discovered today. I subscribe to this online magazine called, hold on, Airmail, by Graydon Carter. Graydon Carter was the editor-in-chief of Vanity Fair for many years. He's very erudite. He's Mr. Lower Manhattan. Graydon Carter gives parties and owns restaurants that you and I are not going to get into ever. Doesn't matter what we do. We're way beyond the landscape of Graydon Carter. Graydon Carter sees things that are so far above us that every day he wakes up and it's May Day for him, because the plane could only come down because he's looking at such a high rate. I'd like you to think about Jumo. What? Jumo, the beautiful young woman at Molinari's Pizza on the Jersey Shore. I want you to think about Jumo. She goes online on TikTok and she makes videos about her making pizza or rigatoni or lasagna. And we see Jumo throw around flour, throw around cheese, shouts at us in Italian.
Uh-huh. Big city. Whoa, using penne? Oh, yeah. Don't taste like the ocean, don't get your pasta in motion.
If you don't get it in the ocean, it doesn't get your pasta in motion.
Uh-huh. Big city. Whoa, using penne? Oh, yeah. Don't taste like the ocean, don't get your pasta in motion.
J-U-M-O. You will thank me. But Jumo, as valuable as she is to Molinari Pizza in South Jersey, she does not have a $1,460 pizza cutter. What? Airmail is Graydon Carter's online magazine. It's called Airmail. And in it, he is showing things to get for Father's Day. And he asked his celebrity friends to come up with a list of things that you might enjoy for Father's Day. They include a wooden pallet that's $80, a pickleball jacket for $79, I don't even know what this is. What's a Lubmeyer? What's a Lubmeyer? I love a table filled with glasses of all shapes and sizes, like these Lubmeyer tumblers. Oh, it's a tumbler. The conversation always flows when the drinks are two. But here is the hand-forged WERU Burl and Damascus steel pizza wheel. It's made out of Damascus steel. A pizza wheel, a pizza cutter, for $1,460. And right there, my friend, that is the difference between you and me and them. And if you can afford a $1,460 pizza cutter, you and I, you and them, can never understand each other. Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every night. Inspired by the Osborne family.
Do you know what it means when someone says based?
Bitch.
No, based.
Based.
B-A-S-E-D. Based.
Based.
Yeah.
That means cocaine.
Mum, what do you think it means?
I have got no idea.
Okay. It's person or opinion is one that is confident, free-thinking, and not influenced by the opinion of others. For example, I am Bates.
All right, from 1210 WPHT in Philadelphia. Wednesday, tomorrow, weather, high of 85, 35% chance of rain. On Thursday, a high of 82 with a 75% chance of rain. Right now, it's cloudy and 67. Tonight, continuing through the morning, wind gusts are up to 16. 73 from Center City, Philadelphia, from 1210 WPHT. You and I are sharing information about an astonishing phenomena. But wait, I just have to look at my email once more. Let me just see something here. I didn't get a call screener, Andrew. Did I get a call screener? No, I didn't. Yes, I did. Here we go. All the things about radio you care about. Here's your phone number so that I can see your name on my call screener. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. You and I are celebrating Pride Month. Are you excited?
Cool, enjoy being a guy, having a girl like me.
For $1,460, you and I can own a Damascus steel pizza cutter. And I learned this on an online newsletter called Airmail, which is powered, written, edited by Graydon Carter, who for years was the editor-in-chief of Vanity Fair, and then owned restaurants in Lower Manhattan that you and I could not get into. That was how you knew he owned it. You could not get into it. And these were restaurants that used to be really middle-class family restaurants, but were a little run down. Food was great, wonderful community, warm and cuddly. But then he bought them for nothing, I'm sure, and renovated them for a fortune. And then we were no longer allowed in them. As soon as he bought them, we were no longer allowed in them. But so he's got this newsletter, and it's featuring Father's Day gifts. Father's Day gifts. And you and I have discussed what Dad really wants for Father's Day, which is to be left completely alone. But this is called a Bodman Blade, Bodman Blades. And sure enough, it looks like a regular pizza cutter. Works the same way as a pizza cutter. Juno would use it, J-U-M-O. Jumo would use it. But it's $1,460. Everything on this list of preferred Father's Day gifts were curated by Tom Chapman. I don't have no idea who Tom Chapman is, but I know he's, again, somebody who's not going to let us in. This is a whole collection of people who, whatever it is, are not going to let us in. But then think about this. And this is the dilemma. This is the Manhattan Santa Monica dilemma. The Manhattan Beverly Hills dilemma. If you even have 2 seconds to think about a $1,460 pizza cutter, you and I do not have the same life. If that's even a possibility, you and I don't have the same life. We are living very different lives. You and I are basically cut in half. We have two different sensibilities. What can we afford, and what is our philosophy of life? What can we afford, and what do we believe in? Religion, politics, how to raise the kids, how to relate to other people. That's the believe in side. That doesn't have a price tag. The other side is, how much is the milk? How much is the bread? How much are the eggs? And there are really two types of financial lives. The type of financial life that would be nice is there's a really good supermarket near us. Nearby, clean as could be, great fish, which is always the bottom line, isn't it? Great fish, great meat, that's near us. And it would be great to be able to drive to that supermarket, which is nearby, buy everything we need, not even really look at the price of the milk. There's the milk, we get it, and go home. The people who can afford a $1,460 pizza cutter, that's how they shop for food. Except they probably send somebody to get it, or they probably have a standing order with the manager, and he makes sure, she makes sure it's delivered every week to their back door or their service door of their apartment. That's one way to look at food. The other way to look at food, and by the way, that way gives you time to think about a $1,460 pizza cutter. It also gives you the incredible freedom to have theoretical conversations about who's running for office, about how they look in a suit, how they speak, how do they behave online, how they behave. Because you really don't care what their economic policies are because you can afford a $1,460 pizza cutter. You don't care about any of their philosophy about the price of oil, milk, eggs. You don't care because you can afford a $1,460 pizza cutter, right? The rest of us shop differently. We don't go to the good supermarket near us and get fish and everything else. To buy food, you and I probably make four different stops. We know where the cheapest milk is. That's where we go for milk. In the store, there may be nothing else that's cheapest. Maybe one thing, cat litter. We get that, put it in the car. Then we go to the place for the meat and fish. That's the good store, the fancy store. We go there for meat and fish and nothing else. Then there's the Walmart-y, Aldi, Save-A-Lot kind of store, and we get the bulk of our product there. Because we have to look at every damn price, and we know the price of everything. We know what it costs at Walmart, Aldi, Save-A-Lot, Giant Eagle, Grand Union, we know where how everything is priced everywhere. Got it in our head. But what does that mean? It means that when you and I have to go out and buy food, it's a 4 or 5 hour process. It's the day, and it's tiring, isn't it? We never think about the $1,460 pizza cutter. And we certainly don't have time to consider the philosophical issues about political candidates or anything else. Because by the time we're done sifting through all the prices of food and we come home, what do we want to do? We want to watch episodic TV. That's it. We want to sit and watch stupid TV. That's all we want to do. We want to put our feet up, relax, don't give me any philosophy, don't care about any philosophy. We don't have time. We don't have the ability to think that through, do we? It's not that we don't care about that stuff, but we can't afford the time to care about that stuff. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Yes, episodic TV. Why won't that start?
In 2021, it came as a shock to all the fans of Storage Wars that the relationship of their most treasured couple may not be as happy as it looked on television. They had a tougher time being partners in real life than being the power couple of Storage Wars. And when she was asked why things fell apart with her heartthrob of over 19 years, she blamed it on fame. She said that being in each other's faces all the time, in front of the cameras all week long, put a strain on their relationship. And speaking on a podcast, she said that being an on-screen couple didn't allow her to have an identity of her own and that she had become emotionally dead.
Brandy on Storage Wars has become emotionally dead. The great thing about Storage Wars is it involves no engagement on my part. I can lie there. I can start at any time. I can end at any time. I have no awareness of the seasons or the episodes or the time. It's timeless. It's brilliant TV. And it always has a sort of happy ending. Somebody made a lot of money on their locker, and somebody didn't.
Every damn night, yeah, that's right. It's the Walter Stern Show. Every damn night. It's the Walter Stern Show.
Let's you and I talk. It's a live radio show, and we should take advantage of that. At 855-839-1210 is my phone number. On this beautiful night in Philadelphia, I'm Walter Sterling, and this is Sterling Every Damn Night.
Sterling Every Night, inspired by Frank Rizzo.
Put that on camera. You're a creep.
855-839-1210. That's my live phone number at WPHT. Very exciting news. I spent a lot of time in Walmarts. And there are three kinds of Walmarts in the greater Philadelphia area. There's the, I call them random Walmarts, which is the Honey Badger Walmart. These are the Walmarts that were built, put in buildings that were not built for Walmarts. It was built for something else. And that something else failed, and therefore it is haunted. And it is not correctly sized or shaped for a Walmart, and therefore the Walmart people have to leave something out. It's very sad. I went to a random Walmart that I knew had been something else before. Maybe a BJ's discount club, a BJ discount club. And I'm in the grocery section of this random Walmart, and I realize there's no meat. There was no meat section in this because it really didn't have enough room for the giant refrigerators. Pay attention when you're in a Walmart and you're in the meat section and somebody out of nowhere has on a white apron and a meat rack on wheels and they pull it up and they start to stack up the meat section. And then they go and disappear. There is no butcher service in any Walmart. They don't have a real butcher in any Walmart. All the butcher stuff, all the meat stuff, comes from a central warehouse, a central location, a central meat place, and it's brought to individual stores. Very important to remember. Then there's the Nirvana Walmart. These are very rare. These are Walmarts that have the following characteristics. They're open 24 hours a day. They're immaculate. The shelves are packed. The minute something runs out on a shelf, it reappears immediately. This is the amazing part. There are cash registers that are not used. There are cashiers standing there doing nothing. How does that happen? How is it possible for there at a Walmart to be a cash register who's not busy? Your feet don't stick to the floor. They have every product of in a given brand. Whatever the brand makes, they have that. Wow. These are very rare places. And it's open 24 hours, 7 days a week. Then there's the ghetto Walmart. The ghetto Walmart closes at midnight because they have to. Around 11:45, you start to hear babies screaming. And around 11:50, you hear shots fired. The other thing they do at the ghetto Walmarts is there may be two or three entrances to the Walmart. They close all of them except one. They control the crowd by only one is open. And no matter what time you go in, no matter which one's open, that's the furthest one away from you. That is the least convenient Walmart exit to you, wherever you are. Oh, and there are no cash registers open. It's all self-checkout, self-checkout. Now, in my Walmart, which is a ghetto Walmart, they did something really interesting. They are phasing out self-checkout. We know about the walking problem, where things are just walking out of the store mysteriously. But they don't want to, mine doesn't want to get rid of all those self-checkouts. They don't want to hire a lot of people, whatever. Although, I swear those self-checkouts cost them more than hiring somebody for $15 an hour to run a register. But now they have a Walmart employee at each self-serve station. And what's cool is I can walk up to the self-serve station. I can say, I need your help. And they'll do it all for me. They'll actually scan it, bag it. It's great. Those are my current Walmart stories. But now, get this. How much money do you make a year? Okay. If you're a Walmart manager, you can make up to $550,000 a year based on bonuses, minimum like $250,000, $350,000, and you can earn up to $350,000 with bonuses and awards. As a Walmart manager, because finally they realized that the turnover of their, quote, management was very high. And part of it was that they didn't pay them enough. And there's a sneaky thing that's happened the past 10 years. Minimum wage has gone from, you know, for a management type, from like $65,000 to $75,000 a year. Now it's at $100,000 a year or more. That's the basic line, $100,000 a year. Poverty line is $45,000, $50,000 a year. That's the poverty line. And you're thinking about when you were in school, gosh, if one day I could only earn $25,000 a year, wouldn't that be amazing? Well, you couldn't afford a $1,400 Bodman blade for that. It couldn't be done. But there it is, a new opportunity for you to be a Walmart manager. And I say that if they're running a ghetto Walmart with the gunshots, they should start at $350. That's the minimum a Philadelphia Walmart manager should be making. I have a spectacular website created by Lee Harris. WalterSterlingShow.com. WalterSterlingShow.com. And on that, you'll be able to click on listen to show and hear every show I've ever done, including the spectacular shows that I did on WABC. And I suspect we'll be doing them on WABC again very soon. By the way, if you have friends in Sacramento who like to listen to the Sunday night show, the Sterling on Sunday show, the network show from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m., it does come out of WPHT. For the past 2 or 3 weeks, we have not been on KFBK in Sacramento. We haven't been on KFBK in Sacramento because they changed how they distribute the show. You know who they are? They're the ones who can afford the $1,460 pizza cutter. They changed the way it's distributed. And they need a new satellite dish to get it. And they're trying to get the satellite provider to give them the dish. And good luck with that. But it's not because they hate us or don't like us or any nonsense. Because if that was the case, I'd know. They love us at KFBK in Sacramento. This is for the Sunday night show. You and I, Philadelphia, very special, intimate relationship. Because remember, it's Pride Month.
Just wanted to wish the LGBTQ plus community a happy Pride Month. Enjoy, but don't forget to thank a straight person for your existence. Have I
ever told you? Andy Kim won the Democratic senatorial primary in New Jersey. He won. Why would you be so immature to play that every time I say Andy Kim? Why do you feel you need to do that? Why do you do that? It's very unprofessional. I'm Walter Sterling, and this is Sterling Every Damn Night.
Now, the shame of Philadelphia radio. The time filler on WPHT. Yes, live Sterling Every Damn Night.
Good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Here's WPHT weather for Greater Philadelphia. Tomorrow, a high of 85, 40% chance of rain. Thursday, 75% chance of rain, high of 81. And on Friday, no rain, sunshine, high of 81. That is Wildwood weather. Right now, it is 72 in Center City, Philadelphia. Tonight, cloudy conditions continuing through the morning. Wind gusts are up to 15 miles an hour. Right now it is 72 in Center City, Philadelphia. Wildwood weather. That's what we're looking at. Wildwood weather. But you and I have to share about this really interesting dichotomy in our world. There are people who believe that certain political candidates are so offensive and so horrible that they leave the country. But those are the same people who can afford a $1,460 pizza cutter. I'm looking at this online email letter called Airmail. And it's listing all of the things that you could get for Father's Day. And they include a $1,460 Damascus steel pizza cutter. But, you want some other examples? This is on airmail. Here's some other examples of things that separate us from them, and you know who they are. Ready? There is a, you know, why is it when I put on my glasses it's worse? Let's see here. A spread eagle armchair. Few people capture the perfect ambience quite like Alex Eagle. This chair and stool is perfect for a lazy afternoon. We all need more of these. Well, how much is the armchair? $7,500. $7,500 for the spread eagle armchair. We can get a Perriand weekend bag in Elvis Black. You got that? A weekend bag, a leather bag. Melissa from Metier bestows beauty and practicality on her bags. Perfect slots for your passport, your phone charger. Keep everything close at hand. Everything is made with the most sumptuous materials. Well, how much is the weekend bag? $4,850. And how about this? Anything that makes me feel like I am hauled up in this Milan masterpiece wins a bid for me, a modernist tray holder or side table in walnut. Okay, a tray holder, side table in walnut. $11,000. If you can afford a $1,400 pizza cutter and $11,000 side table, you and I do not live in the world of where is the cheapest milk. And if you don't live in the world of where's the cheapest milk, you cannot possibly understand why a candidate for election might be the one we want, even though you find him so offensive. Oh, my God, so offensive. You know what I find offensive? I find offensive that in the past 4 years with three young daughters, that milk has gone up 25%. I have found it offensive that in the past 4 years, even though I have three daughters, that milk has gone up 100%. That gasoline has gone up 75%. Absolutely nothing has gone down. And then the arrogance that I hear, my favorite bundle of arrogance is this. When I hear somebody say, well, all of us have so much more money now, we can afford the increase in food prices. All right, that's only said by somebody who can afford a $1,400 pizza cutter. Only somebody who could afford a $1,400 pizza cutter found on airmail newsletter from Graydon Carter would dare say, well, it's not a problem. 50, 70, 100% increase in food prices. Not a problem because people have so much more money now. These are people who don't decide whether or not to take an Uber or an Uber X or a Super Uber. They take the Super Uber. They're not considering anything. And I don't think that's bad. By the way, you should have all the money you want. You should be able to afford anything you want. But don't minimize what I need. Don't minimize the fact that the prices are out of control. The fact that I have to drive to get gas. I can get gas for $3.10. In order for me to get gas for $3.10, I have to go to the ghetto. I have to go to the worst possible spots in North Philadelphia or Camden. And that's where I can find $3.10 gas. There's the trade-off. $3.85 gas, and I'm almost safe. $3.10 gas, I'm risking my life. That's the difference. All right, coming up, I need your advice. I have to go to a hell event. I have to go to a family reunion, and that may not sound like hell to you, but I bet it does. Because if you don't fit in, if you're a misfit, if you're an introvert, we don't belong at things like that. There should be separate incidents, separate reunions just for us, those of us who don't get along. It's 1012 at WPHT. I answer every email. Walter M. Sterling. I don't have a staff of seven like Mary Margaret McBride. I don't have a staff of seven. I don't have people kowtowing to me like Dom Giordano or Rich Zeoli. I don't have Matt DeSantis saying, hey, Rich, don't do that. That would be a really stupid thing to do. I don't have that. I have none of these basic luxuries. You think I should put out a newsletter? Hosts make a fortune with those newsletters. Do you know that? All right, coming up, I'm going to give you some really good ideas about Father's Day. I'm going to suggest that there's a way for Dad and I can get together for a lunch. Wouldn't that be nice? And all of the other excitement that comes with a live, local radio show. My name is Walter Sterling, and this is Sterling Every Damn Night.
Sterling Every Night, inspired by dumb TikToks.
If you see me pouring water on my head while I'm on live, that means I can't stand my co-host. But if you see me just taking a sip out of the water bottle, that means I may have a slight crush on my co-host. But shh, don't tell them I'm live right now.
I wanted to do something special for our
a special day.
Oh, anniversary!
Yeah,
happy anniversary, oh, babe.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, honey. Mm.
Toll roads today. Toll roads today. Here are today's toll road headlines. Texas County approves contract for $74 million tollway extension. Florida's Turnpike completes ETC conversion of Seminole Expressway segment. They all talk to each other, my friend. All the toll road managers talk to each other. Tennessee Department of Transportation reports safety outcome from traffic management system project. American Roads increases Montgomery Expressway toll rates just in time for summer. MTA New York City will forego congestion toll penalties for 60 days post-implementation. See, it can't work. June maintenance work will disrupt overnight traffic on the United Kingdom's Dartford Crossing. And Fitch and KBRA announce Pennsylvania Turnpike bond ratings. They've announced the bond ratings for the Pennsylvania Turnpike. Fitch upgrades ratings of East 470 Highway Authority bonds. Listen, we're screwed. All the toll takers talk to each other. They have an official daily newsletter, not a monthly, not a weekly. There's so much toll road news every day that they have. Toll Roads Today, that's a newsletter. Toll Roads Today. So much information to share about how to convince us it's okay to pay more toll. That's what a lot of the articles are about. How to put in those new automated systems that, what do they do exactly? They send us letters saying that we have a toll due. What does that do? Think of all the paper, all the manpower, all the postage, all the time wasted to send those bills. And then what do we have to do? We have to fill out a form, give them information we don't want to give them, like our credit card number, or send them a check. And then we have to go and mail it or process it online. And anytime you go to do something online that's supposed to save time, it's 20 minutes. These are crooked roads. It's easy to imagine, oh, the toll goes to repairing the road. It does not. Your gasoline tax goes to repairing the roads. That's what the gas tax does. What do the tolls do? The tolls pay off the bonds that poured the concrete. Oh, what? No. You see, the roads are in the business of pouring concrete. You can decide, if you wish, who that's in association with. You know, why you always need a guy to pour concrete. You can figure that out yourself. But the fact is that's their real business. It is pouring concrete. And then it says when the bonds are paid off, here's the magic line in almost every authority in America. The magic line is, if in the opinion of the authority, it is necessary for safety reasons to pour more concrete. They can keep the bonds up until those bonds are paid off. They can keep the tolls up until those bonds are paid off.
Sorry. Do you know what I'm saying?
What? No, no. God, no. Please close your legs up.
You know, sorry. Do you know what I'm saying?
What? No, no. God, no. Please close your legs up.
If you tell another girl she smells good, that's a body. If you pay for another girl's food or coffee, that's a body. If you move a girl's hair out of her face, three bodies. If you let a girl borrow your clothes, that's a body. If you let another girl do your makeup, that's three bodies. If you're getting behind a girl and you put your hand in the small of her back, that's a body. Buy another girl a drink, that's a body. If I'm talking about how a girl really annoys me or I might not like her and you defend her, that's a body. If you take another girl on your boat that's not like your friend's girlfriend, that's a body. If you let another girl drive your car, that's two bodies. If you give a girl a ride home after a night out because she was out and you were sober at home, that's a body. If you tickle another girl, three bodies. If you help another girl put jewelry on, that's a body.
You and I talk at 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. Who is this? Walter M. Sterling, a local, what? A local live show in Philadelphia. That doesn't happen. A local live show in Philadelphia. I love diners, as you do. I'd like to know, when will the Melrose Diner be back? On their website page, it says, thank you for stopping by. Details on our rebuild and reopening are coming soon. We're thrilled for our future plans on Snyder Avenue and look forward to continue serving you your favorite Philadelphia staples for years to come. Thank you for your patience. Okay, when are they going to reopen? When are they going to reopen? Because I wanted to go there the other night, and I looked on their website to make sure I had the address right, and I'm like, wait, it says it's closed? And then over and over, especially in Center City, diner after diner is closing, and I don't care why. I want them open. Jersey, the capital of diners, they don't seem to be closing as many, but they are also closing diners. And I love diners. Here's what I love about a diner. Probably the same thing you love about a diner. I'm a booth man. My body was built for two things and not that. My body was built for Brooks Brothers. Twice in Center City, I was walking down the street. I was walking down Market Street twice in my life. Two different people, two different days, walked up to me and said, do you know where Brooks Brothers is? That's who I am. My body was built for a Brooks Brothers suit. That's what I'm supposed to be wearing. Every now and then I would, when I had a lot of money and I had a lot of business, I'd go to Paul Stewart because my brother would go to Paul Stewart. And I'm like, I could never fit into those suits. It never looked right on me. I need a navy blue Brooks Brothers suit. That's who I am. All right, so I'm the same way with diners. Maybe you are too. There's nothing more magical or perfect than to go to a diner and there's the booth you want, third from the door, on the left. And I sit down and I face the door. Because, you know, I'm not facing my back to the door. That's not going to happen. I sit there, and I'm sucked into that booth, and I'm wrapped in the love of a diner's booth. It's a special kind of love. And very quickly, Dorothy brings over the menu. I'll be back in a minute, dear. And she comes back in a minute with the coffee pot. She pours the coffee. Let me have a small orange juice. I get a little glass of orange juice because nothing's more overpriced in a diner than the orange juice. And what do I order? I bet you ordered the same thing. First, I embrace the aroma of the diner, that special scent that's a combination of Philadelphia grease and coffee, and that the hum of people who are there but not talking. You know, at a certain time of day, maybe they're a little chatty, but at 7 or 8 in the morning, they're not chatty. We're just there to eat and absorb and face the day. And facing the day is a lot easier with the armor of a diner, like the Melrose Diner. The menu's there. And I look at the other items, you know, maybe it should have a healthy fruit salad, or maybe a healthy chef salad, or maybe the egg whites. And then I'm thinking about that. Should I have the egg whites, whole wheat toast? Should I have that? And then Dorothy comes up and she goes, what do you have? I'm going to have the pepper and sausage omelet, well done, with an English muffin. Put the butter on the English muffin. Don't give it to me in the little packs on the side. Please put it on the muffin. I'll have a black coffee, and that's it. What potatoes do you want? No potatoes. That's my big imaginary diet. No potatoes. But I'll have the sausage and pepper omelet. Well done. That's my diner meal. Every time I go into the diner, I imagine a different meal. I'll get the health salad, the health snacks, the healthy shake. Let me have the healthy fruit shake. Never happens. When it comes down to it, I will always have the sausage and pepper omelet, well done, with an English muffin on the side with the butter on it. And then I'm staring at the cake and pie refrigerator. There it is over there to my left. The other side of the counter, and it's full. It's a Tuesday. And because it's Tuesday, it's packed. They have filled it, refilled it. Everything's there. The chocolate cream pie, the coconut cream pie, the cherry pie, the apple pie. It's all laid out before me. The threats to my health are all right there. And if I have time, and the marble cake. And the seven-layer cake, which for some reason is always stale. Why is it that the seven-layer cake in any diner anywhere in the world is always stale? Because it's the most appealing. I look at that seven-layer cake, I'm like, that's what I want. But then twice a year I'll actually order it, and it's always stale. And I'll even say, is it good? I'll say, is it good? And they always take that as an insult, which they should. Why would we sell it if it wasn't good? And then, like you, I tip as much as I possibly can because we always imagine that this is a hard job and they're underpaid. Probably they're going home to a very big house and a very expensive car. We just imagine their poverty. But I don't know, if you're a regular waitress, if you're a working waitress and you've been there a long time, you're not underpaid. But I wish the Melrose Diner would come back. And we can talk about that if you want. It's sort of a casual, light conversation that I prefer to have on Sterling every night. You want my phone number? Sure. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. I want to know when the diners aren't going to come back. That's an interesting fact. Once a diner's gone, it's gone. Have you noticed that? There's never a replacement diner. Sterling. Every damn night.
Sterling Every Night, inspired by Mike Jerick.
He's ruined it for all us guys.
Oh, please.
He even had the rose petals. He's got this giant ring. He's down on one knee. He's got votive candles in the shape of a heart.
All right, from 1210 WPHT, Philadelphia. Right now it is 71 and cloudy. Tomorrow, high of 85, 40% chance of rain. Thursday, 81, with a 40% chance of rain. And right now it is 71 and cloudy in Center City, Philadelphia, from 1210 WPHT. Now, it says that's good. Andrew, we're not overmodulating. Are we overmodulating, Andrew? Not that he knows of. Now, what else would he know? But whether or not I'm overmodulating, what else would be of value for him to know at this moment? Not that I know of. Who would know? If you don't know, Andrew, who would know if I'm overmodulating? Selena and Steven, they never answer me. Selena and Steven at JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey, welcome to Sterling Every Damn Night. Hi.
Hey, good evening, Walter.
Hi, Walter.
Now, have you developed a pride dessert yet? Have you come up with a specific pride dessert beyond Fruit Loops?
A specific dessert geared towards the whole month of Pride.
Yes,
I always have those rainbow sugar cookies. Those go very well.
Well, that does sound good. Are they moving? Well, are they selling?
They always sell really well, but no one's asked for anything in particular specific for that. So I don't know exactly what should be made for that. I'm always open to some recommendations. People could send me some recommendations.
I would suggest that you have a set of cupcakes with a picture of Taylor Hansen on it, and another set of cupcakes with a picture of Christy McNichol on it.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and then for your older customers, a picture of Liberace.
Hello, young folks. What's you shaking? I gotta try that scene you're making. Liberace's turning on.
In fact, if that MP3 played every time a door opened at J.B. Bakery, every time they came in the front door and they heard Liberace singing, I think that'd be embracing the gay community.
Liberace's great. I actually played Frank Sinatra.
We're sure he's not gay. We're damn sure that Frank Sinatra is not gay. For the month of June, you might want to come up with a gay icon and then the gay flag colors across a cupcake. It's really a simple thing to make. And they're not going to ask for it. Nobody's going to ask for it. No one's going to come out for you. They are, but if you put a tray of cupcakes with the gay pride flag over them, they'll sell out in 8 seconds. Guaranteed.
Yeah, those went very well last year, so we do have those.
Well, why aren't they up now? Are you against the gay community?
Isn't there a specific day for a special event?
No, it's a month.
Is there any
special
events?
It's Pride Month. It's the whole month.
The entire month?
Yes.
Okay.
I know it's hard to accept, depending on your father, but yes, it's the whole month.
So not just weekends?
No. No, even though you're at the shore, it's not just weekends. But here's Taylor Hansen explaining things to you.
Play the instrument, so we wrote the song. So this is kind of like, you know, you think we're young now when you listen to this, and it was 2.5 years ago, and it was our second album then, and we were doing it on our own.
That's all he ever says. All he talks about is his various albums. That's
a lot of people, you know, they didn't really think that we play the instruments or we wrote the song. So this is kind of like, you know, you think we're young now when you listen to this, and it was 2.5 years ago, and it was our second album then, and we were doing it on our own.
If you put up posters of Christy McNichol, Hanson, David Cassidy, Sean Cassidy, if you put them all over your bake shop, you would sell out in a day. Isn't that right, Selena?
Walter, it's definitely possible. As far as Pride Month last year, I know I can say that the rainbow-themed and like kind of more Pride-oriented baked goods were a little bit slow in the beginning of June, but it definitely picked up towards the middle or the end of the month. Actually, I'm surprised our cake decorator hasn't put anything out yet, so I'm sure she'll be doing something soon with like the cupcakes. I know she has flag picks probably to put in those. So the crowd will definitely be in soon, if not this week.
Sometimes it takes people a while to warm up to Pride, and that may account for why things were slow. Now, how are things going with you two? We discussed the challenge of being romantically involved with two co-workers and their impact on other people, and Steve and Selena took very different points of view on this. Selena said, yes, there is more friction between me and women employees than there was before. And Steve said, no, this is just the way it is. Everybody has to get along. Is that a fair assessment?
I think that's a fair assessment, yes.
How are you going to resolve this conflict right there? If there's a conflict between the two of you on appraising the situation with fellow workers, how are you going to resolve this with the broader scheme of employees? It still seems to be need to be worked out. So I'm going to rely on Selena to answer all the questions from this point on. Selena, how are you going to get Steve to understand the problem?
So most of the time, if it's an employee thing, I'll let him know that it happened and kind of let him deal with it, because at the end of the day, it is his employee, not mine. So, you know, it is a little bit tricky for me to deal with it sometimes myself. But I don't know, if we disagreed on it, we'd have to find some way to come together on it, I guess.
Because you don't want a situation like with Caitlin Clark, who was knocked down by another basketball player for no particular reason. And by the way, if you watch the video of Caitlin Clark getting knocked down by an opposing team member, the opposing team member did not seem to swing all that hard. I'm like, wait a minute, she really fell down from that? Hard to imagine a 6'5" athlete falling down from an elbowing. Because in Jersey, an elbowing is the way we express love.
That's definitely true. I've been almost elbowed by customers on multiple occasions, and I'm pretty sure that they love me. I'm pretty sure.
They do. Absolutely. Is this the peak time of year for wedding cakes? No, wait, you told me it's a different time of year now. When is it, in the fall?
So wedding cakes definitely starts up around now. Summertime is a really popular time to get married. Like June, we usually have a lot of wedding cakes. Some of those are gay wedding cakes. Occasionally they'll come in. Usually, I mean, some couples like to do specific things for, if it's like a gay wedding, like they want to make it part of their cake theme, but a lot of them just want like a regular wedding cake. But then also in the fall, there's definitely another uptick because it kind of depends on when people get married. We have wedding cake orders all throughout the year, but definitely now through like August or even October is a popular time to place those kinds of orders.
Who usually places the order for a wedding cake? Is it bride or mom?
So it's funny you say that because I was going to say the bride, but now that I think about it, it is usually the mom and the bride. And the mom does a whole lot of talking for a cake that's not really for her. But yes, usually it's the mom and the bride together.
And how annoying are the moms?
Well, I don't know if annoying is the right word, but I know that the brides often get frustrated with their own mothers because they keep trying to put in their own opinion, and usually the bride has a pretty good idea of what she wants when she comes in, but, you know, it can be a little bit frustrating when you have two people with different ideas of how things should go, and you're just trying to get the order and make sure everything's right and coordinate delivery, so that can be frustrating.
Too often, it's as though mom wants to get married again. It's as though she wants a wedding again. And the fact is that a bride of appropriate age, i.e. over 18, does not need mom's help in choosing a cake, might need mom's help in negotiating the price of a catering hall. That's a very grown-up thing. But buying a cake, I think we're all on a pretty safe level with that.
Yeah, I would say that's definitely, most of them seem to have it under control. The hardest thing is choosing the flavor, and decoration is usually pretty easy, and our decorator is very good at guiding them through that. So usually it's not too hard of a decision, and it's not the most expensive thing at the wedding most of the time, unless they wanted to do that, which we could definitely do.
You'd be happy to have the most expensive thing at the wedding, right?
Of course, I think it'd be fun. It might be a little bit hard. I don't know how we'd make a cake. You know, it has to be pretty big and then lots of different kinds of fillings, I guess.
Most popular, chocolate or vanilla or something else?
So we actually have a cake slice. It's called Italian Wedding. I would say it's the most standard wedding cake flavor. It's usually like a vanilla or a white cake with raspberry filling and vanilla buttercream. That's usually what people go with.
This is Selena and Steve at JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey. This is the official bakery of Sterling every damn night. And it's not because they pay for the time. They do not. It's not because it's a barter. It is not. It is simply that Steve was so smart on social media to put up photos of himself and Selena and their incredible baked goods. I'm like, okay, this is spectacular. And then they came on and are willing to divulge the secrets of their personal lives on radio, which pretty much makes them stars. Steve and Selena, what's the address of JB Bakery?
Hello?
The address of JB Bakery, sir.
Walter, yeah, everybody can visit JB Bakery at 712 High Street in Burlington, right off of Route 130, exit 5 off of the New Jersey Turnpike.
Definitely check out the strawberry and cream donuts.
The strawberry and cream donuts are decadent. So it's exit 5 off the Jersey Turnpike, Burlington, New Jersey. Thank you so much for being on Sterling every damn night. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Look at that. Oh, my gosh. We've killed a lot of time. That is our job at WPHT. Be local, be live, and kill time. 1046 from 1210 WPHT.
Sterling every night. Inspired by Judge Jeanine Pirro.
All right, here we are. It's Wednesday in the studio. All day I thought it was Thursday. What a joy. I have not just today, but Thursday and Friday.
Generally, when you go to Yelp to find a great gentleman's club, you usually get a good feeling about whether the place is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to go enjoy some jiggling and dancing, or whether it's bad. The Office Gentleman's Club has a 2.8 out of 5 average, and the reviews are all either 5-star or 1-star. It's crazy. Well, at 2 o'clock Saturday at the Office Gentlemen's Club near West Van Dorn and South Folsom Street in beautiful, beautiful Lincoln, Nebraska. Well, apparently a little bit of a kerfuffle at closing time. This club is open every, well, Sunday they have cutback hours for church. Sunday they're open 7 to 2, 7P to 2A, and the rest of the week 3P to 2A. Now, the club is closed. Argument in the parking lot. Shooting goes on. Second suspect arrested. Christopher Z. Johnson, 32, of Lincoln, picked up on suspicion of 2 counts of first-degree murder and 2 counts of using a firearm to commit a felony. Mr. Johnson went on the run all the way to Omaha, so, I don't know, 45 minutes away. Booze, broads, and testosterone are 3 things that rarely do well together, especially after midnight. My rule, enjoy your time. Enjoy the lovely ladies in the champagne room. Don't get into an argument with some dopes, because you never know who's going to pull out a gat and start pulling the trigger. Rat-a-tat-tat, rat-a-tat-tat-tat with the gat. Christopher Z. Johnson in custody. We remember Carlos Silva and Terrell Jones. Their memory will be a blessing. From the champagne room, this is D'Lo Hool, Sterling at Night.
From WPHT, you and I are headed to the third shift. And people who work the third shift, the late shift, you and I are really special because we make it all work and we get no credit for it. But here's what they don't understand. The people who work in the daylight, what the people who work in the daylight don't understand is we want to work now. The reason that you and I are working now is this is when we want to work. If some idiot said, hey, Walter, you want to work middays? You want to do mornings? No, absolutely not. No. And there are a couple reasons for that. No parking. HR is always lurking. I have to be pleasant to people I don't care about. Going to work and going to a workplace is not a natural thing. We're thrown in with people we don't know. We're forced to like and be polite to people we don't know, and we're expected to perform a task with all those people around us, distracting us, talking about their cousins, smelling bad, smelling strange, using those strange air fresheners in their detergent. Let me give you a hint. The only thing that should be in a detergent is the aroma of bleach or nothing. Free and clear. That is the smell you want from your detergent or your dryer sheets. Free and clear. Here's a specific list of things you do not want on your dryer sheets. Tropical. You do not want tropical or peach and tropical. Those are not the aromas you want on your dryer sheets or your detergent additives. In fact, let me suggest there will be no detergent additives. 20 Mule Team Borax is the aroma you want. Clorox Bleach, a good aroma. Those are the only ones that should be coming out of your laundry detergent dryer, washing machine, and I'm doing this show from a laundry room. I am an expert in what should be coming out of the washing machine and the dryer. Free and clear. The problem of going back to work is we're then surrounded by Tropical. We're surrounded by interesting perfumes. We're surrounded by stories about the weekend. What'd you do this weekend? It doesn't really matter to you what I did this weekend. Oh, HR, he was rude to me. He said he didn't want to discuss the weekend. Why didn't you want to discuss the weekend? Because I was having random sex. That's why I don't want to. Oh, you can't say sex in the office place. HR, you're going to have to do training videos like on Lost. That's why we don't want to go in. We don't mind. The thing we mind most is actually having to deal with other people. The great thing about working from 9 to midnight at 1210 WPHT at 2400 Market Street in the single most beautiful physical plant of a radio station I have ever seen. Right, Andrew? It's unbelievable. This is the most beautiful facility in American radio. And I have seen every radio station in America. I used to be a consultant. I used to hand out advice. People used to pay me for advice. What were the consequences of that advice, Walter? No, there were none. I'd give advice. I'd get on an airplane. I'd eat an expensive meal. I'd go home and go to bed. It was the best deal in the world. I got PowerPoint radiation. Here's a career tip. PowerPoints. This is what they should be. Ready? 8 slides, 8 words per slide. That's it. 8 slides, 8 words per slide. Nothing else. Coming up in just seconds, I'll actually tell you how to get a job, and then I'll go back to really entertaining stories. Andy Kim won the Democrat senatorial primary in New Jersey. WPHT.
Now, the shame of Philadelphia radio. The time filler on WPHT. Yes, live Sterling every damn night.
All right, here's the weather for Philadelphia and the greater Delaware Valley and the Lehigh Valley and all of the other imaginary depression valleys and the highs. I'm Walter Sterling. Here's the weather. You ready? Tomorrow, high of 85, 40% chance of rain. Thursday, 81, 75% chance of rain. Friday, oh my gosh, it's going to be gorgeous. No clouds, no rain. Wildwood days, high of 81. And on Saturday, partly sunny, 77 degrees. And on Sunday, 77 degrees, partly Sunday. It is a down-the-shore weekend. Right now, in Center City, Philadelphia, from Walter M. Sterling, it is 70, cloudy tonight, continuing through the morning, but 70, a beautiful night. These are the nights, my friend. I am Walter Sterling. Did I say that enough? Let me say that a few more times. It's 11:07 in Philadelphia. Let me say it a few more times. This is the time of year when boys become men. This is the time of year when the sap flows and we fall in love with everything. The banister, the railing, we fall in love with everything. There is no sweeter time of year for a young man, and I suspect a young woman, than to be in the corner bedroom, finally got the biggest bedroom in the house, because the older brother, the older sister, left in a huff or to college. So they're in Temple, at Temple, and we finally got the corner bedroom. Now, when I was growing up, I didn't have an air conditioner. The house was not centrally air conditioned. But there was a big hall fan in the hallway. And that was on all night, every night. I argued endlessly with my parents about the direction of the fan. I wanted it to blow in so I could have the sensation of air. But they were correct in having it suck out the heat. And this was the time when I listened to the radio under the pillow. And I listened to George Gilbert and High Lit and Joe Niagara. I heard them through the window of my heart and Jerry Stevens. on WMMR and WIBG and WFIL with George Michael. These are the greatest talent ever. Every industry has a city that is known in that industry as being the best. The best is made there. In newspaper land, they worship Long Island Newsday. Frankly, newspaper worship that over the New York Times, thank God. But in radio, there were a couple cities where radio was considered the best there was. And Philadelphia in the radio industry has always been considered the best radio industry, the best radio city. Every format in this city has been done at one point or another the best it possibly can. You're not going to hear a better all news station than KYW. You're not going to hear a better sports station than WIP. There isn't one. It was created by an insane person. It was created by a man named Tom Bigby. Tom was the one who figured it out. He figured it out that you and I don't want to hear scores on a sports station. We want to hear the talk that we would have at a sports bar. How are the cheerleaders? What the hell's his name? Anyway, that's what we talk about. Well, now today, Major League Baseball suspends Phillies minor leaguer Jose Rodriguez for 1 year for betting on baseball. Well, I knew somebody who bet on baseball. I knew him pretty well.
I didn't run the game any differently, betting on it and not betting on it. I managed every game to win the game.
Pete Rose, Phillies minor league infielder Jose Rodriguez was suspended for 1 year today for violating Major League Baseball's betting rules and policy. In a statement, Major League Baseball said it conducted an investigation of five major and minor league players, all of whom were disciplined to varying degrees. Rodriguez placed 31 baseball bets September 30th, 2021, and at the time the bets were placed, he was on a minor league deal with the Chicago White Sox, and some of those 31 bets involved White Sox major league team.
I didn't run the game any differently, betting on it and not betting on it. I managed every game to win the game.
He was a gambler. Pete Rose said, hey, I was a gambler, but it didn't affect the outcome of the games because I bet on them to win. I was the manager. I knew what the leverage was. The leverage was we were going to win because I was the manager. I believed in my team. Nobody is going to have more hits than Pete Rose because they changed the rules of the game. They changed the calendar of the game. So nobody can have more hits than Pete Rose. And nobody was more dedicated to baseball than Pete Rose. And like him or not, he should be in the Hall of Fame. And this poor man for 30 years has suffered from not being in the Hall of Fame. Meanwhile, there have been drug addicts who were on drugs while they were playing baseball, and they're in the Hall of Fame. Speaking of drug addicts, at 11:12 from WPHT, speaking of drug addicts, today this Hunter Biden is testifying, and they're talking about drug addiction. And he's saying he was not a drug addict at a certain point. There's one thing I know about drug addicts, and because I'm in show business, I know a lot of drug addicts. There's one thing I know about drug addicts, which is that if their mouth is moving, they're lying. I was up to be on a jury. It was a really interesting case, and the trial was this. A drug addict was suing to get his stolen goods back. He hadn't done anything. He was the victim, but his profession was his profession was drug dealer, and he was robbed, and he was suing or taking to court or whatever the person who robbed him. But the judge had a problem. Would you believe the victim if the victim was a drug dealer? Would you believe them? And they're interviewing all of these grown-ups, these very serious people. And finally, I said to the judge, may I approach the bench? Because I didn't want to pollute the jury pool. I was thoughtful that way. And I came up to her and I said, I believe that if a drug dealer is speaking, they are lying. You're dismissed. Nice. It's 11:13 from Walter M. Sterling. The great Dave Scott coming up in just seconds to explain all things about the universe to you and me. This is Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every night, inspired by Worthless Podcasts.
Hey guys, here's a couple tricks that'll help you when you're growing tomatoes this year.
Every night, lost in space, mission control, Dave Scott. Dave Scott. Had a jingle, Dave. Has any other radio company, any other radio entity blessed you with a jingle that spectacular, sir?
I'm going to tell you right now, every time I hear that, I feel a little bit of radio romanticism and the buzz just hits me to the moon and back, Walt. Thank you for that.
To the moon and back. Now, listen, Andrew, can you pull that off and email that to Dave? Would you pull that off so that we can email it to him? I'll give you his email address in a little bit. Dave Scott, you wanted to talk about the fact that as an expert in all things outer space, you believe there actually is a secret space program that involves the moon, and that there are installations put there by the U.S. and maybe other countries on the moon, and that's why there's been no public announcement of a trip to the moon, but there have been many secret trips to the moon.
Well, I'm going to start off by saying that it's an opinion that I think is very real, because I've had a number of people over the years tell me about things about these 20 in back groups, a secret space program, aircraft that we will never see or that we are identifying as UFOs. I've had people talk to me saying that they've spent time on Mars fighting aliens and a civilization there, including Dwight Eisenhower's great granddaughter, Laura, who believes that she was at an event in Washington, D.C. one year back in the 80s, and she was asked if she wanted to go to Mars. And she is steadfast about this. She is steadfast about Eisenhower meeting with aliens in the 50s and trading humans for technology, which we know as the Grieta Treaty. But getting back to the secret space program, Walt, there are a number of vehicles out there that we can't explain, including these giant big black triangles that people come in contact with and see in the night sky. Now, personally, I have seen two of them. They are very odd looking. They don't make any sound in the sky, and they are massive. I saw them over British Columbia by the Washington state border back in 2013, and then again in about 2015. And I could tell you, they're eerie. But I was talking to one of my insiders one time about this, who used to work at a secret base in Nevada, who stated to me, Dave, you can ask me anything you want. I'm not going to break my NDAs. And when I asked him about the secret space program and the moon, he said, those are two subjects you and I will never talk about. So I asked him about the black triangles, Walt. And I said, well, what about hypothetically these black triangles? If they're ours, don't they need to land and be at a base somewhere so they can refuel? And his answer to me was, well, if we're speaking hypothetically, what if they don't have to land? What if we could do everything up in the sky? We already refuel aircraft in the sky. Why
right.
couldn't we do it with those?
Yeah, we refuel jets by other jets with a pipe in the sky. They're going 500 miles an hour. Refueling a big triangle shouldn't be any more complicated. So they don't have to land. Okay, if they don't have to land, what are they doing?
Well, they could be doing anything. Okay, from traveling to the moon, traveling to Mars, we do believe that the American secret programs do have hypersonic speed. Michael Schratt, an aviation historian, has actually recorded notes that in the 1990s, the last Thursday of every month, there was a 1.2 magnitude earthquake over Los Angeles, and that earthquake started in Nevada. And they believe that it was a secret program that replaced the SR-71. And Walt, his information stated that this aircraft could fly. It would fly over from Nevada over California, up the Pacific Ocean to Alaska. It would turn left,
go over Russia, go over China, turn around, come back over Alaska, through British Columbia, Idaho, down into Nevada, all in less than 2.5 hours.
It makes the silly little balloon, the balloon that went over America that we think came from China, it seems kind of silly.
Well, you know what? There's an easy way of doing things, and sometimes that's not with technology. Sometimes it's what worked in World War One still works today, and a balloon can be very hard to detect.
But that one was really easy to detect. It was like, everybody saw the balloon. When are we going to shoot this down? And then when it was shot down, it was like, oh, there was nothing in there, nothing to worry about. It was all stuff you could buy at Costco.
Yeah, well, that's the official word. Don't forget, right. UFOs are also swamp gas.
UFOs are swamp gas. It would seem to me, based on our American brouhaha, that if we had secret bases on the moon, they would not be secret because we would be so proud of that achievement, so proud of our ability to put bases on the moon, live on the moon, fight wars on Mars. We would brag about this. Wouldn't that make sense?
Well, unless there's an international treaty. Like, you brought up a good point last week, I believe, or the week before, that you didn't believe that the U.S. and Russia were really enemies, that they were actually allies. And
yes,
a good point that brings up, too, is look at the International Space Station. The Russians put it up. When the Americans shut down and NASA shut down the shuttle program, we had to use the Russian shuttles in order to get to the International Space Station. That's a lot of camaraderie for enemies, don't you think, when you're discovering the next frontier? So why couldn't they be teaming up to go on the moon?
I think that since Kennedy, since Nixon, that the U.S. and Russia have been peaceful enemies, that we made a quiet agreement that we're not going to bomb each other. We both know that that's ridiculous. We both need to be in space. We both want to be in space. And that's it. That's what we do. Also, remember that if you're going to go to the International Space Station, you need to know Russian. So our astronauts learn Russian. Their cosmonauts learn English. And when the Soviet Union fell, and one of the questions was, who's going to get the guys down, the cosmonauts down from the International Space Station? We immediately said, we will take them down, no problem. So I don't think we're really enemies, and we're certainly not enemies in space. We can rattle our swords at each other for whatever political reason, but we're not going to do anything to each other. Much bigger problem between them forming an alliance and a growing alliance with China. Much bigger problem. But I still don't understand why, if we're able to have bases on the moon and wars on Mars, why we wouldn't talk about it. I don't know what it is we're hiding.
Well, one of the things that I heard from one of the whistleblowers that came out, we talked about this gentleman on the show a couple months ago, was about the fact that he is what we call a 20 and back super soldier. Now, this is a highly controversial, highly contested argument that a lot of people don't believe is actually truthful. But according to these 20 and backers, they are recruited between the age of 5 and 15 years old, and they are trained to go into space to fight aliens. And they go up for 20 years, and when they come back, the government regresses them. If they lose an arm, they could have their arm replaced, and then they come back and their memories are wiped, except some of them remember screenshots. Now, the one person I talked to about this, he actually believes that he fought in an alien battle in the Kuiper Belt, which is a very violent area of space between us and the moon, and believes that there was an alien war going on, and the Americans got involved with our secret spacecraft in order to help the good aliens defeat the bad aliens.
This is Dave Scott, and Dave Scott is the host of a Canadian show that runs all night that features information and conversation about UFOs and other really intriguing things. What are you going to talk about on your show tonight?
Tonight we are getting into spirituality and alien contacts.
That should be great. You're the great Dave Scott. Please give us your website.
spacedoutradio.com. And Walt, tomorrow when I'm on with you, ask me about jump rooms.
Yes, I will ask you about jump rooms, and thank you very much for being on Sterling every damn night, a great local Philadelphia radio show, a live radio show at 11:27 Eastern Time. I'm Walter Sterling, and I started this 3.5 weeks ago with great trepidation because, first of all, it's WPHT, a powerful, important radio station run by Dom Giordano. And Dom Giordano is not to be messed with. Dom Giordano is Mr. Philadelphia. And I debated whether or not to do it for a long time because I wanted to do it every night. And then I'm like, do you know what that means? And on a regular basis, I'd get emails from you to WalterMSterling@gmail.com saying you should do it every night. And finally, I said, OK, we'll do it every night. Wouldn't it be great to have a local live show? I am having the best time. I hope to gosh you're enjoying this show because This is the most fun I could possibly have. I mean, at a certain point, sexo isn't the most fun. This is the most fun. It's an honor to be with you. It's a pleasure to be with you. And I've gotten great feedback, great letters. Here's my gift to you. Here's what Father wants. Here's what Dad wants for Father's Day. I mentioned it last night, but I don't assume in arrogance that you all listen all day and night. Dad wants to be alone. He wants to be left alone. That's what your father wants. You want him to be able to be alone in the house, set the air conditioning to 50 degrees, which is where he wants it all the time, binge watch whatever shows he wants to watch, usually ones on the History Channel, or Storage Wars, drink whatever he wants, sit in that room, pull down the shades, and be left alone till 10 o'clock at night. That's what Dad really wants. Dad, we're going to leave the house now. All of us are going. No one's going to call you. No one's going to bother you. That is the blessing of Father's Day. Give your dad the gift of nothing to do. Sterling, every damn night.
Sterling, every night. Inspired by NASA.
Remember when NASA sent a woman to space for only 6 days and they gave her 100 tampons?
From 1210 WPHT, it's 69 in Center City, Philadelphia on Market Street. Wednesday, tomorrow, 85, 40% chance of rain. Thursday, 75% chance of rain, high of 81. But on Friday, it's going to be 81 and perfect. 81 and perfect. Right now, it's 69 and cloudy on Center City, Philadelphia from 1210 WPHT. Friday is the day to play hooky. I am a very big believer in a four-day week, which is why I work a six-day week, because I'm insane. And I hope you're enjoying this six-day week. I have a email. It's WalterMSterling@gmail.com. I'm having the best time. If you hate it, I want to hear that, too. But this is the best decision I've made. Let's do the show six nights a week, they said. And I'm like, it was a good decision. Thank you, David Yadgaroff. Thank you, Greg Stocker. These are the big decision makers. Any one of them could have said no, no. Father's Day, let him stay home alone. Then if you want to have dinner, with lunch, with a bunch of other fathers, we're going to do something that every father dreams of. We're going to go to lunch, and we're not going to speak. You can ask me one question, maybe ask each other one question, but we're not going to speak, because when men go to lunch, what we really want is to eat, be around other men, appearing friendly, but in fact, not speak. I go to Dairy Queen 2 days ago. One of the things men do, here's the secret. One of the things men do is we eat ice cream in solitude. We don't let others see us eat ice cream. We go, we get ice cream, we go back to the car, we sit there. We don't want anyone to see. That's what we do. That's what guys do. I go to a Dairy Queen. I know where they are. I know where the Mr. Frosties are because I have an app for Mr. Frosties. I go to the Dairy Queen, and what do I want? I want vanilla dipped in cherry.
People are going to want to get ice cream, but if you're a fan of those cherry dipped cones, there's some bad news. Dairy Queen has confirmed it is discontinuing it.
Disaster. That was the topping I wanted. I didn't want the chocolate dip. you know, at various times they've had different ones. They've had like blueberry dips and green mint ones. No, I want the cherry dip. That's what I've wanted all my life.
People are going to want to get ice cream, but if you're a fan of those cherry dipped cones, there's some bad news. Dairy Queen has confirmed it is discontinuing it.
The Sage of Omaha, who owns Dairy Queen, he discontinued it. Since he's owned it, it's much better. They're cleaner, they have better food, and the interesting thing about Dairy Queen, now that they're selling hamburgers and cheeseburgers, and I don't know how they do this, it is so clean. There is no smell of fried hamburgers. You do not smell the French fries and the hamburgers 10 miles away. You pull up to the drive-through window at Dairy Queen, there's no aroma, there's no smell. And that means it's immaculate. And the place from which I buy ice cream, I need that to be immaculate. But more importantly, I need it to be dipped in cherry. Dipping the ice cream in cherry is incredibly important to me. And then these whack jobs in Japan, oh my gosh. Yeah, it's called Shokan. That's right. Worst testing song in the history of American Top 40. If you were to research this song and say, do you want to hear this? If you wanted it on WOGL, if you wanted this as an oldie, you'd test it. You could test 1,000 songs. This would be way at the bottom every time. In Japan, they have decided to end AM radio. There will be no more AM radio stations in Japan. The AM band is being disbanded. In America, there's been this big push the past 2 years by American broadcasters in Congress and in the Senate to maintain AM signals like this one, 1210 WPHT. And their primary argument is that it super serves small communities, and in times of hurricane and tornadoes, the AM band is an incredibly powerful and useful resource and a source of information. Okay, well, that's very nice. But if it's really that important, why don't you put it on the FM? It makes no sense to maintain an entire microwave spectrum in case a tornado comes. Instead, the reason to maintain AM is because we have great shows. We have spectacular shows on AM that are not available on FM. There are 1,000 spoken word radio stations in the country, more than that. It is this format that's on WPHD is the number one format in America. And you know why it is? It's because we know how to celebrate Pride Month. JB Bakery, our friends Stephen and Selena in Burlington, New Jersey. I said to him, what is the baked good for Pride Month? And last year, they had cupcakes that were decorated with the Pride flag. Very nice, very colorful. Why not? Okay, good. They don't have any Supreme Court cases pending about not wanting to make gay wedding cakes. Yes, I support gay marriage. You make yourself as miserable as you want. I don't care. But the fact is that I said to Stephen about an hour ago, I said, so what is your gay celebration, pride, baked good now at JB Bakery? He didn't have one. He didn't have a good answer. I was very disappointed. And then just now, and I posted it on the Walter Sterling Facebook page, Walter Sterling Facebook page, I posted it, and there it is. The gay pride baked good at JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey. Congratulations. It's sticky buns. What did he say? He said sticky buns. Are we having fun tonight? Are you enjoying this? You and I can be in touch. I have a webpage. It's spectacular. WalterSterlingShow.com. I have an email. Look forward to your emails. Maybe sometimes Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. Odyssey is not giving me an email address. They give me a parking pass. They give me a building pass, which they don't give to Gary Arnell. But no, I can't have an Odyssey email address.
Well, you'd have to be an employee to get a to get an email, sir.
And we can talk at any time at 855-839-1210. I always look forward to talking to you, especially about diners. We talked about diners. Very sad that the Melrose Diner is still closed and the Jersey Diners are great. And my secret vice at the diner is chocolate cream pie. I have a world-class chocolate cream pie recipe that's easy to make for you. I got it from the JB Bakery the other night. I will send it to you. It comes with spectacular photographs of this baked good. It's amazing. Your diabetes will spike the minute you look at these pictures. By the way, is that a thing? I have type 2 diabetes, and I swear to God, my diabetes numbers, my sugar spikes when I look at pictures of things I shouldn't be eating. 11:43 at 1210 WPHT, Walter Sterling, Sterling every night.
Sterling every night, inspired by Larry David.
None of your business. How about that?
Sterling every night. Study books, lusty books. Get cozy with the Al and Dawn.
I'm Smutty Book author Thea Landon, and here's an excerpt from my book, A Flame Among the Stars. See, you always know the right thing to say. Solyndra swallowed, hints of moisture glistening in her eyes. But maybe I won't ever go back, she whispered. Meg stared at her, alarmed. What? Nothing's felt right in a long, long time. Everyone's always telling me what to do, what to say, how to act, and I'm tired of it all. Her next breath hitched in her throat. When I'm out here with you, even without knowing what awaits us, everything is so different. The freedom is exhilarating, and the thought of giving it up and going back to life in the castle is unbearable. Meg rubbed the side of her head. You don't have to make any permanent decisions tonight. When you're ready, we can catch up with the others and... Launching herself at her, Solyndra cut her off with a fervent kiss. Though initially startled, she relaxed and welcomed her tongue into her mouth, savoring the taste of her. Their playful explorations of the prior nights disappeared, replaced by a sense of urgency as Solyndra tugged her to the ground. Frantic hands clutched at Meg's shoulders, pulling her close. One palm meandered down her side, coming to rest on her hip. Their tumble to the grass had caused her shirt to ride up, and when Solyndra's fingers grazed the sliver of bare skin above the waistband of her pants, an involuntary gasp slipped past her lips. She expected her to withdraw, but Solyndra's grip on her tightened, her fingertips digging into her flesh. Meg angled her head back, breaking kiss. Her surprise had been replaced by a deep yearning, but, as always, she feared pushing too far, too fast. Solyndra solved her dilemma for her. Don't stop tonight, she murmured, a salacious command spilling forth from her ruby red lips. Kiss me, touch me. Treat me like all the women you've been with before. Don't hold anything back. Desire pulsed in her ears and throbbed between her legs. Yet she had to be certain. Are you sure? You're the only one who cares about what I want. He grabbed Meg's hand and pressed it above her heart. What I want is you. You know you can make me feel good. In a flash, Meg rolled her onto her back, capturing her mouth in another sensuous kiss. She groped for the clasps of her cloak, unfastening the closures one by one. Sitting up, she flung open the two sides of the garment, anticipating the treasures she'd discover underneath. Beneath the thick cloak, Solyndra's silky dress shimmered in the starlight. Pale blue fabric clung to her every curve, a snug bodice dipping low to accentuate the swell of her prominent chest. The ache inside Meg intensified as she let her palms glide over the smooth material at her stomach. She couldn't prevent a laugh from escaping. "Don't you think you're a little overdressed for journeying through lands unknown?" she teased. "It's the plainest thing I own." Her cheeks flushed, yet the devilish sparkle in her eyes remained. "If you don't like it, you can just take it off me." Stifling a groan, Meg traced the edge of her neckline with one finger. "We're kind of out in the open here, despite the darkness, so we're going to go with an abridged version of events tonight." Lying beside her, he used the same finger to tilt Solyndra's chin toward her. "But don't worry, I'll take care of you." "Unfortunately, I think I need to stop here for tonight. But you know you can always have more." That was an excerpt from my book, A Flame Among the Stars, which is available at Amazon in paperback and on Kindle Unlimited. I'm smutty book author Thea Landon.
Have I ever told you how good it feels to hold you?
Yes. Andy Kim has won the Democratic senatorial primary in New Jersey against Bob Melendez, Gold Bar Bob, who has decided to run as an independent. He didn't even run as a Democrat. It's time to retire, Mr. Melendez. It's time to give it up. It's okay. You have enough gold bars. It's fine. All right, there it is. Look at that. Did we learn anything tonight? Let's review. We learned that at the JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey, to celebrate Pride Month, they've made a special batch of sticky buns. And then we learned that the Molinari Pizzeria at the Jersey Shore features their 19-year-old daughter making pizzas that has resulted in millions and millions and millions of TikTok views because she shows us how to properly make a pizza. She explains things as she goes along.
Uh-huh. Thanks, Sadie. Whoa. Using penne?
Oh, yeah.
It don't taste like the ocean. Don't get your pasta in motion.
And look at that. I need your advice. I'll ask for it tomorrow. I thought I was going to get to it tonight, but I'm overprepared. That's the gift of a great talk show host in Philadelphia, that we are overprepared. And I'm overprepared to share about our family reunion coming up, and I don't know how to handle it. I don't know what to do. But I do know that I'm pretty ticked off that Dairy Queen has stopped the cherry coating on the ice cream. Pretty annoyed about that. I confess that for Pride Month, I have a celebrity man crush on Taylor Hansen, and I suspect you have a celebrity crush on Christy McNichol.
Her coming out in 2012, both in her life and the more broad context of LGBTQ+, would represent acceptance. By sharing her personal stories, she had contributed to the visibility and representation of LGBTQ+ individuals, breaking down barriers and stereotypes. Her honesty revealed a long-term relationship and a powerful message of love, acceptance, and pride.
And I'm the only person on the radio who, with regard to our alleged mayor's cabinet, I think the fire chief and the police chief should be making $1 million a year to do the fire chief job in this city and the police chief job in this city, $1 million a year. Everybody else, they're clowns. They don't deserve a penny. Those other jobs are clown jobs. But to be the fire chief of Philadelphia, to be the fire commissioner, to be the police commissioner, to be Thomas Nestel at SEPTA, who should be in charge of the police at SEPTA, Thomas Nestel, $1 million a year. Those are $1 million jobs. Because remember, $100,000 a year now is like sort of minimum wage. $300,000 a year is not that much. Those are big jobs. All right. The greatest gift you and I can receive, my friend, is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air conditioned as your favorite bar.
It's done. Thank you for listening to the one.